Well, good evening, ladies. What a blessing to be here. And what just a marvelous display of the love of Christ and his power we've seen already this evening. I have some props, so I have to get them out here. So June asked me to speak, knowing that the topic for this ladies' retreat was come and dine, and I think she asked me to speak because what I do for my profession is being a pediatrician, and I specifically work with kids that are carrying extra weight. So I thought I would just start out maybe by telling you a little bit about myself. I was very blessed to grow up in a Christian home with very godly grandparents and parents, and I grew up in Weston, Missouri, and then went to school, stayed in the meeting, which was very important all through my schooling, and got married, and then found out, I knew Brother Gene and June because their daughter was my age, and had known her just a little bit through church camps and things, but it was actually Brother Hill that told us about the fact that Gene and the other others there at Gospel Fellowship were holding the Grace and Glory Bible School. And so my husband and I started attending in 1998, and it really did just bring our spiritual growth to a whole new level. And praise the Lord for that. And we have been in that meeting since and are really thankful that most of our whole family attends. It's just such a blessing. And exquisite road the Lord has for each of us. It's divinely planned, and nothing escapes his notice. And all of our steps, even though we may not understand always why, his steps are divinely ordered by the Lord, and this was certainly an example. So I am going to, Lord willing, speak tonight about having the right hunger. And hopefully I won't go too fast because I'm kind of a fast speaker, but I'll try to slow it down and hopefully won't go too long either. So I care for kids and teens with obesity, and I have been doing so for the last 25 years. I finished my pediatric training, and I joined the general peds division at the Children's Hospital in Kansas City, and just over the next few years developed more and more of an interest in helping to work with these kids, just seeing the tremendous toll that their condition was having on their health, their quality of life, their school. We could go on and on about the different complications that these kids face. But in its simplest form, obesity can result when there is an imbalance between energy in the form of calories taken in and energy spent. So energy out or energy spent needs to equal energy in for our body weight to stay the same. And that's called the energy balance equation. And so sometimes I use this little teeter-totter, which is kind of falling apart a little bit, just to show that energy in and energy out have to be in balance for our body weight to stay the same. Now, this sounds simple, but in reality, it is much, much more complicated than that. And it is certainly not only a matter of willpower. Our body weight has a lot to do with our genetics, and we are learning more and more about this all the time. Our energy in and energy out are also influenced by many factors in our environments, and for kids, especially their family environment and other environments in which they live. The families that I see in my clinic are often struggling with factors such as difficulty in purchasing healthier foods, parents having challenges finding time and energy to get out with their kids, or learning how to be the leaders of their households in having family meals and setting limits in many areas. So back to the energy balance equation, our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made, and the balance that our bodies have is just, again, exquisite. And I think Sister Vicki could probably agree with me that the more we learn about the human body and the more we see illness and health, the more we realize just what a perfect balance that is. And our bodies try to maintain their own energy balance, so they'll do all that they can to stay at the same weight. And so when we at first may try to lose weight, which many of us do, try to lose weight at some point in time in our lives, our bodies are going to resist that effort, at least at first, because our body wants to remain in balance. So when a person is eating fewer calories, for instance, in order to lose weight, the body's metabolism, the rate at which it burns calories, slows down in order to try to get back to the former body weight. The same thing can happen if a person does more physical activity than usual while maintaining the same nutrition habits, and weight loss might start to occur. The body's metabolic rate slows down in order to preserve its former weight. So in order to lose weight, we have to overcome this so-called weight set point that we were created with to get to the point where our body is content with a lower set point. Most people who want to lose weight have to continue to maintain nutrition habits that are consistently lowering calories over time to ultimately overcome this tendency of our bodies to maintain the status quo. Although physical activity is very important to help us achieve and maintain a healthier weight, and it's good for our bodies for a variety of non-weight related reasons, we will have more success in weight loss by managing the energy inside, the nutrition side of the energy balance equation. Our body weight is more likely to improve if we can make changes to what we are eating and drinking. And a big part of taking in less energy, both in food and drink, is controlling our hunger. So our hunger and nutrition intake is really central to our body weight. If you look at what we call the mechanism of action or way that weight loss medications, for instance, work inside our bodies, including those that are newer to the market today, they work by lowering hunger. They target the appetite center in the brain to make us feel less hungry. So when it comes for time for a meal, we eat less and we're satisfied with a smaller amount of food. As we stay on the medication, we are able to continue eating less, and over time, weight loss results. Most of the time, though, we do not treat children with extra weight with medications, at least not at the beginning. And many adults carrying extra weight choose to at least initially start working on healthy eating and other non-medicine ways to control their hunger. For kids, we work with parents and caregivers to have healthier foods available in the home and not to have less healthy foods around. These healthy foods include foods that are higher in nutritional value and are more filling or satisfying. An example of this would be vegetables. They're packed with vitamins, minerals, and fiber. Not only are they healthy for our bodies, they are low in calories and they make one feel full. We call them nutrient dense. Same for lean protein. So, for instance, if you have a child that has an after-school snack, and they should have an after-school snack, especially if their lunch is pretty early in the day, if they have like a piece of fruit and a healthy yogurt, like a non-fat Greek yogurt without added sugar, they're going to feel more satisfied and they're going to eat a smaller, healthier amount at dinner time than a child who has chips after school. Drinking water is also very important. Between meals and with meals and snacks, and we advise about having a schedule for every day, having certain times to eat, eating regularly, and not skipping meals. And we find ways, try to help kids find other things to do instead of eat if they're eating due to boredom or emotions, and to identify and address the reasons behind their hunger. On the activity side, we help parents gain skills in setting limits and finding resources to have non-screen activities and screen time alternatives for their non-screen time alternatives, like playing outside, joining an after-school program, indoor physical activities. We help kids and families start where they are with activities that are comfortable and enjoyable for them. So what are the parallels to this approach in Scripture? There are many, and I've learned more and more as time has gone on, just, again, the tremendous parallels between caring for people and their bodies and their health and the Scripture. And the importance of eating spiritual food and starting with the most important spiritually valuable activities in our days are ones that we've heard before. Let's first look at spiritual food, the Word of God. God provides for all of our needs, our physical needs, our spiritual needs. We know He's able to bring healing to those that we prayed for this evening, and that He is the great physician. So let's turn to Nehemiah 9:15. First of all, just as one example of how the Lord spoke through Nehemiah about His exquisite care of the children of Israel. So in Nehemiah 9:15, you gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought them water out of the rock for their thirst and told them to go in and possess the land which you had sworn to give them. In the most literal sense, manna was that bread. It was the bread that God provided to them. And back in Exodus, when manna was first introduced, Exodus 16:31. And the house of Israel called its name manna, and it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. The more we take in the Word of God, the more we will hunger and thirst for it. And the same is true for our children and our grandchildren. We heard prayer requests for grandchildren, and thank the Lord for praying grandmothers who really have their grandchildren on their hearts. We want our kids and grandkids to develop that spiritual hunger and thirst to eat the Word and drink the living water to satisfy their hunger and thirst. So let's turn to Matthew 5:6. And Jesus said here, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Jesus is the source of righteousness. He is the Word of God who was made flesh, and He is the bread of life. He is the living water. He is who we hunger and thirst for, and He is who will satisfy our hunger and thirst. Let's turn to John 6:35 for another example of Jesus referring to Himself as the bread of life. And of course, a lot that heard Him at that time really didn't understand what He meant. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." And in that same chapter, down in verse 50 and beyond, Jesus said, "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die." The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And even back again in the Old Testament, thinking about how Isaiah prophesied of the Messiah, in chapter 55, Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk." So wine being the Holy Spirit and milk being the Word. "Without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance." And then another example, many examples in the New Testament, but Ephesians 5:26, where the Apostle Paul says, talking about Christ in the church and his love for the church and his care for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. So thinking about kids in my clinic who are picky eaters, which I have many, many of, as an example, the more exposure to healthy foods that they are given, the more likely they are to accept them and even have a preference for them. In fact, early exposure to healthy foods is critical to a child's ability to develop a liking for them. Research shows that it can take up to 15 different exposures to a new food on different days, at different meals, in order for a child to develop a liking for it. And we advise parents not to give up after the second or third try of offering a new food, for instance, like green beans. So the things that our bodies are kind of programmed to like, salt, sugar, fat. Those are things that it doesn't take long for kids, even infants, to develop a liking for. But things that might be a little more, a little less sweet, a little more bitter, those are the things that sometimes it takes a little while to develop a liking for, but it's certainly not impossible. And young kids especially, you'll see them, they need to be given the chance to look at the food, pick it up, feel it, smell it, taste it. They will use their senses. And for a few examples of how we experience the Word of God using our senses, let's first turn to Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And now let's turn to Song of Solomon 2:3 to see what the Shulamite says about her beloved. So she says, like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The psalmist in Psalm 119:103. Whoops. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Parents need to also eat the same healthy food to role model eating it for the child. And a spiritual parallel is that if we as parents and grandparents want our children to develop a hunger for the Word of God, we need to read and meditate on it in our homes with our children enthusiastically and often, and cheerfully bring our families to assemble with other members of the body of Christ in our churches to hear the Word rightly divided. This is a way that their and our hunger for Jesus, the true bread of life, will grow. Making this the top priority will fill us and our children up on spiritually rich food, and we will not have as much hunger for less spiritual things, things that do not ultimately satisfy us physically or spiritually. The prodigal son knew that his father was the source for this healthy, spiritually rich food. He learned that the things of the world did not satisfy his hunger, either physically or spiritually. So let's turn to Luke 15:17. So in this, we're all familiar with this parable that Jesus told. And he was, you know, to the point in verse 16 or 15 and 16. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country after a famine had begun. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" So he knew where to go. He went back to his father, and he was welcomed with open arms and a banquet with plenty of food. His father had been praying for him. He had been watching for him, hoping that he would return, and he was ready for him. So I want to do a little show and tell to hopefully encourage anyone who has trouble like me in fitting spiritual food into your daily diet. This is a demonstration that I do in talking with kids and parents in my clinic because it really is of value. I'm looking at my sister up there. It really is a value to show visuals. Visual aids are a really powerful tool. Remember the bones Sister Vicki showed here last year or the year before? Yeah, it's a powerful tool. And if you start your meal with drinking a glass of water and eating the most nutrient-dense foods first, like this, you're not going to be as hungry for the less healthy items. So as I fill up my cup with the word and prayer, all the other tasks that I have to do that day are going to fit in around it somehow. They will. But you fill up your cup, your activities for the day with the more important things first. And then again, the little things are going to fit in around it. So if you fill up your, if you start eating veggies first, eat slow, enjoy the taste, let that fiber start working, then you're going to be less hungry and you're not going to be as able really to eat less healthy, the other parts of the meal that might be not quite as healthy. So conversely, if these healthier foods are absent from the table, or if a child is allowed to eat whatever they want, they'll fill up on the less healthy items, again, because our bodies like salt, sugar, and fat. That's what our taste buds are attracted to, and they will fill up on the less healthy items and not have as much of an appetite for the healthier foods. So if I, as a parent, make feeding on the Word of God a daily priority, it helps me ensure that I am being nourished with this most important component of my spiritual growth. If I fill up my cup or my day with less important things, I find myself less able to be spiritually nourished and my spiritual growth is slowed. I believe Brother Roger Sadbury has made this statement about the old man and the new man in our meeting in Grandview, and he says, in your life, the man that you feed is the man that will grow. So in addition to tasting and developing a sustained hunger for healthy food, we have to swallow it to benefit from its nourishment. Likewise, to benefit spiritually from the word, we have to take it in and digest it and allow it to work in us. The process of digestion and the use of food, how the Lord uses food to nourish us and improve our health, is another example of how we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And it would be a whole separate talk. But for tonight, I just want to touch on one spiritual result of eating the word. One important result is that Christ is working through the word as we take it in to transform us into his image. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the agent of transformation is the Word working in us through the Holy Spirit. And we know that the process of this spiritual food working in us and transforming us can be painful, even bitter, as we yield to it. We'll turn to Revelation 10:9 for one example of this. And this is John speaking with the angel who was Christ, who was standing on the sea and on the earth. And I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. So we've all experienced this as we've gone on with the Lord. And we know that that process of working out the word in our lives can be painful. but it yields divine benefit. So the theme of Come and Dine for this year's retreat is very timely. Now more than ever, we need encouragement to make these two choices in our daily lives. First, come. It's a choice. Sit at Jesus' feet and learn of him. Eat of his word daily. Make it your number one priority. Second, dine. Taste. Swallow. Digest. Ask him to make his word work his perfect will in your life. Thank you.